Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Deep Dive. I'm joined, as always, by the Minnesota's finest Andy. We are here for a week four deep dive into the NFL lines. Can you believe we're already up to week four, man? This NFL season is blowing by.
It's almost depressing.
Yeah, man, we're coming up on the end of the first quarter of the NFL season, which means Andy Reid's used up two of his three timeouts. The slate this week looks pretty good, I gotta say. There's some great ones. We got a little bit of interesting early action here. We get to see the first of two great matchups between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. In the late slate, you got a nice one with Oakland going to Denver. The primetime games are a little bit of a bust.
A little meh. Although, you know, yeah. The Bears are this garbage team that just, I mean, obviously what happened to Tampa Bay was not good, but against two of probably the top five as far as Super Bowl odds before the season, they went out there and they played them tough.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have beaten Atlanta. I mean, honestly, they should have wins against Atlanta
and right now.
So, right. Yeah, if it wasn't, and obviously the number would be different if it's in Soldier Field, but man, if this was Bears plus four at home, I'd be all over that right now. They're looking like a team that can keep it close.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some spots coming up for the Bears actually. Next, I'm not this weekend. And we'll circle back on this and do a little deeper dive into the Thursday night game at the end of the pod. But I'm liking Green Bay this week. I'm going to be laying the points with them. I think they get a comfortable win. And I like the Bears next week. The Bears next week at your Vikes. That's going to be an interesting spot. Vikes are going to be looking ahead to Green Bay the following week. But we got a nice little round robin here. So Green Bay, we see Green Bay. Chicago week four, we see Minnesota Chicago week five, and we see Minnesota Green Bay week six. So that'll be a cool little NFC North round robin. Meanwhile, your Vikes are playing the Lions this week. You want to start there? You have any feelings about your Vikes? You think they impressed against the Bucks? That was one we didn't really touch on Monday, but boy, did the Case Keenum, man, he owns Tampa Bay somehow. Do you have a feel for this line?
Tampa Bay, I guess, every time. Yeah, the Lions
we're not expecting
a bit of an anomaly as far as their games. Yeah. They probably should have, you know, there's another game they should have won this weekend. Speaking of NFC North Division teams that should have won. That was kind of wacky. I mean, you wonder maybe a bit of a letdown spot after losing a game and just like that, they had to just be sitting around that locker room after that loss, just wondering where it all went wrong. Especially for guys that have been on that team for, you know, and a good portion, there wasn't a ton of turnover there, I guess, but those guys that have been there for a year or two, they're so used to it. Like the fourth, well, we always win in the fourth quarter. What do you mean we didn't win? You know, how many times, it was record breaking how many times they've done that. So maybe a little letdown spot. I hate betting a game when you don't know who the starter is, although I don't know if there's a huge drop-off. I think Diggs and Thielen just seem to – it's the old chicken and egg. Who's good, the quarterback and the receivers? I think it's the receivers.
Right.
The receivers are making the quarterbacks look pretty decent right now. Doesn't hurt to have Cook running good. I would – like we talked about earlier, five dimes is late. Two different lines right now, based on which quarterback's going to play. And if it was Keenum at minus three, I'd probably play that. It's at home.
Yeah, it looks like that's what they threw out there for the contest. Actually, they made Minnesota minus two in the contest, so that's probably their everybody I think is expecting Keenum to make the start. Any interest in the under if we see a number like we saw last? If we see a number like we saw last week, I'm probably staying away. Tampa Bay, I think, was 41-42. We got on the over there. That was a nice no split winner. If that's inflated a little bit based on how the game went last week against Tampa Bay, any interest in the under? Can I sell you an under 44 or under 43 here?
It'd have to be like 47.
You think? Okay.
I don't know. There's too many playmakers.
Interesting. Yeah, and you got a
tough corner with, you know, and I don't know if Diggs has faced much for super tough defenders, but Slay is a very good player. That can be a very fun matchup to watch.
Point.
And you got Rhodes closed, looking at whoever, they'll move him around, I think. There's no, you know, a number one in Detroit, I don't believe, you know, they'll put him on whoever, maybe just leave him on one side of the field.
Right.
But you could have some pretty good pass defense numbers or whatever you want to call it. Maybe it does stay down a little that way, but I think if it's, you know, low 40s, I'd stay away. If it got 47, you can look at that, I suppose. Sounds like you're leaning under. What's the reason?
Well, I was leaning under mostly. The logic is the Vikings defense is very good. And we saw an all-world performance last week from Case Keenum. I'm not sure he's prepared to do that two weeks in a row. We saw the Vikings and the Lions play two very tightly contested, low-scoring games last season. There's not enough of a difference between these rosters for me to say that you're going to see some specifically different outcome. This year than we saw last year between these men, you know, virtually the same matchups, Sam Bradford aside, and offensive line is a little bit improved for Minnesota. Detroit, my thoughts on Detroit are totally mixed. You know, obviously they have some fourth quarter magic, but it didn't quite get them to the winner's circle last weekend. Their defense is very Jekyll and Hyde. They give up yards in bunches. Look vulnerable at times against Atlanta. And Atlanta played like a C-minus game from them. And they still, even though it was very close to the end, that was an Atlanta game all the way.
I didn't think they deserved to win the game, but they should have.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, I agree 100%. It's very, very weird to say that, but I 100% agree. The defense, you know, they give up yards in bunches, but they create turnovers. And if you can create turnovers, you can keep the other team, you know, keep them from scoring when they're in the red zone and flip the field at times with field position. Actually, Detroit, surprisingly to me, I was surprised at least. They're leading the league right now in field position. They're averaging starting their possessions on their own 35. So it hasn't been particularly tough on this team in terms of moving the ball to get into scoring position. On top of that, they got Prater kicking super long field goals. I think he has four field goals over 55 yards so far this year. So everything's kind of clicking for the Lions. In my look on the under, you know, if we even see a number that's worth playing, my look on the under was basically just we're going to see a little bit of a letdown from the Lions offense because they're due for a letdown, and this is both offenses a little bit, right?
You go to the turnover too. I think Minnesota might be due for a couple. I mean, just that defense has not turned. I mean, they've looked good. They've done their job for the most part, but they have not turned people over. Only three interceptions through three games with that.
Great point. That was like a hallmark of them early in the season last year. They were so good at turning teams over and scoring defensive touchdowns, and they haven't been doing it.
There are some strip sacks, some picks. We might see some.
Yeah. Did you see him? Did you see him trash talking the Greg Robinson, the terrible?
That's hilarious. I thought that was hilarious. I mean, just being honest, like, that guy's not good.
No, he's not. No, very true. He's been one of the all-time busts. All right, well, let's move on to some games that you have lines.
Talked 10 minutes about a game without a line.
Well, it's an interesting game, man. I mean, Lions, Vikings, like, one of these teams is going to go to the playoffs. One of them is not. Right, and so this is going to be a really pivotal game. I think I think Packers are going to the playoffs either by winning the North or winning a wild card spot, and one of these two teams is going, and one of them staying home. So this game matters a ton, which is another good reason, another good angle to back the under. You know, when it's, you have a game of this level of importance, teams play a little bit tighter. the first game on the slate, we get another London special. This one's perhaps going to provide a little bit more entertainment than the last London game, where the Ravens effectively took a bye.
I enjoyed the shit out of that because I had a Jaguars ticket. I have never cashed in that easy, I don't think. Underdog winning by like 5 touchdowns. That was
me too.
It's funny how bad a game can really be, but you just grinning ear to ear every time that St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm prepared to be a little bit more sweaty this morning, this Sunday morning coming up with Dolphins Saints. This looks like a pretty decent game. You know, two teams that kind of fall squarely in the middle in the NFL landscape. I don't think the Saints are a playoff team, but they could see them still. You know, they're still going to compile 6-7 wins this season. Same goes for the Dolphins. I don't see this as a playoff team, but they still have pieces that can scare you on both sides of the ball. I'm going to lean Dolphins in this one. I've been hammering the travel aspects and the extra rest and the extra bump that teams get from playing an opponent that comes out a little bit unfocused to start the game, which is what we saw out of the Dolphins in a pretty predictable letdown spot last week against the Jets. I think that the companion to that letdown spot is, you know, when you have a good coach like Adam Gase, and this isn't, you can't say this for all teams. It's really kind of depends on the organization and the coach, but I like Adam Gase. I think he will be a head coach in the National Football League for 10 plus years. He's got great scheme. He's got good motivational tools and he's got a good feel for his locker room. And I fully expect that he will have his guys focused and ready to play on Sunday morning. Despite the fact that this is their third week on the road, really their fourth week on the road, when you consider the fact that they left Miami a week early to go to LA because of the hurricane. It does scare me that they're flying to London quite a bit later than the Saints. This is the Saints' second straight week on the road as well. They're feeling pretty high after beating the Panthers in Carolina on Sunday and effectively seemingly writing their season. They still have a defense that is porous, will give up, you know, boatloads of yards to I think a focused offense from the Miami Dolphins on Sunday morning. We talked ad nauseum last week and had the Andy's adage for you about, when on Wembley, bet the over, you'll get paid. If there's an over team in the league, it's the New Orleans Saints. It's sitting around 50. Yeah, it's high. And I do think it'll go over, but I don't have enough of an edge on that to bet the over. I think the Dolphins get what they want out of this game offensively, especially in the first half, if they come out focused, despite the fact that they're doing an eight-hour flight. Do you know it was an 8-hour flight from Miami to London? I looked that up today, and I was kind of shocked. But they're flying.
Quite a bit north, too, from there, you know.
You do, yeah. It's
from, no, yeah, that's where I'm in full disagreement mode. Granted, the Saints, yeah, they've traveled a little too here, but I'm still just – I think we can push out that Miami travel spot situational bet one more week here because, man, they've been all over, and I guess their first game, I thought maybe Cutler was going to be focused this year, but I think if the Saints score and they score quickly and they get, you know, even if it's, you know, 14-7, 14-10 early, Cutler looks like he could just get unfocused and go into that thing that he does pretty quickly.
Yeah. He cares about the least amount of any player in the National Football League about his
team. And if he gets behind, he'll just start winging it out there. That's a bad defense, but even a bad defense will catch the balls that Jay Cutler throws right at them, which he does.
Fair point.
So I actually will be playing the Saints this week.
Okay. So interesting. So we're on the opposite side of this one. That'll be fun. I'm going to be on East Coast time this week. So I won't be. I'll actually probably watch all this game. Yeah, flying out to visit my brother in North Carolina. He and his wife just had a baby, so I'm a new uncle. So I'll be on the East Coast visiting the fam. My younger brother has a new child, and it's making me feel old. But that's beside the point.
Maybe get your life together.
Yeah, I know. I need to get my shit together here. Yeah, but he doesn't have a podcast, man. You know, he does not have a wildly successful podcast. So I will be rubbing that in his face. So the other two notes I had that I just wanted to bring up here, Cutler. This is not Cutler's first game in London. He was successful when he was with the Bears back in 2011. They handed it to the Bucks, and Cutler had a nice performance that day. Second thing I wanted to add was Cutler is a zigzag player for me. And when you see him do well one week and you see him suck the next week, I'm interested in looking for him to have a bounce back zigzag performance.
That is pretty true.
So zigzag Cutler comes through for me in the Dolphins, or Cutler loses his starting job, and Matt Moore starts Week 4 against the Titans. Dolphins, man, boy, did they get a shit schedule. They get Titans at home, and then they have to go on the road and play the Falcons in that fast dome, and the Falcons are gonna be coming off their bye. So the Dolphins, this season could go sideways on them in a hurry if they don't get right against the Saints here. So I'm on the Miami money line. I'm getting +132. That's a number that I'm excited about, and I think the Dolphins can eke out a win here in this game.
Oh, we're doing that again. I guess we both
lose. I know. It's possible. You're laying three.
Yeah, laying three. So okay. I guess we both lose.
All again. Right. If you wait a little bit on this, I got a suspicion that money's going to come in on the Dolphins, and you may be able to get 2.5 at some shops.
I haven't
for a reasonable
yet.
Juice.
I'm gonna look around a little.
Yeah, I think this got inflated as high as it was going to go, pretty much off the open, and it's going to come back down to the 2.5 range here before we kick. The Panthers Patriots was a game I had circled for a while this season. I was excited about the Panthers in this spot. I thought they were interesting. Angle to potentially upset the Patriots, given the fact that I thought the Panthers were going to be contending for a playoff potentially after we saw some pretty strong play from their defense early this season. But they have some problems. Greg Olsen, not playing. Kelvin Benjamin, not playing. Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart are probably the only two players on the Carolina depth chart that you know by name besides Cam Newton, and that's a problem. I don't play fantasy football, but high heavy duty fantasy football players probably know the one and two wide receivers that are going to be starting for the Panthers on Sunday, but I sure the hell don't. Do you know who they are?
Yeah, they're not on my team, so I don't know. I think losing your tight end, he's a big part of that offense.
Yeah. He is. And Kelvin Benjamin, although I didn't have, you know, I didn't hold him up particularly high, you know, you don't have anyone else. So this is potentially problematic for the Panthers. I like the Patriots defense to do something better than they've done the first 3 weeks of this season. They're currently the 31st ranked defense, if you believe in the advanced metrics, which
slow.
Is not good.
they look so slow.
Yeah, I worry
about that. I think they're old and they're slow, and I don't know that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be all season. Brady's just going to have to score 14 in the fourth quarter, maybe 21, to get it done every week. I think this mobile quarterback, I mean, they had trouble with a mobile quarterback. I was trying to think last week.
And if there, yes, Deshaun Watson was spectacular against him. That was a rookie quarterback.
Cam doesn't look right, but.
Rookie quarterback making his second start on the road, and he was, he was great. Cam, I don't, you know, it depends. It entirely depends.
He's still hurt, I think.
I could see this. I think he is too. Something's going on with him. He's and they're afraid to run him because he took so many headshots last year, and I would be too if he was my franchise quarterback. But all that said, I think this game plays out one of two ways. Either the Patriots defense gets right and holds the Panthers down, and you see a low scoring grind out win for the Pats, or the Pats defense is who we thought they are, and they are the 31st best defense in the league, and the Panthers can score on them. But in that scenario, the Panthers are going to be scoring on them with the likes of Stewart and McCafferty. McCafferty's capable of big plays, but I don't really necessarily see the Patriots the type of team that's going to be giving up those big plays, because I think at this point they've configured their defense so that the safeties are stopping the home run after what happened to them week one against the Chiefs. So I think the fact that there's not an outside deep threat for the Panthers makes me think that the under is the play in this game. They hung a 48. It got bet up to 49. I'll happily take that extra point to go under 49. And that is my more interesting, as one of two unders I'm on in the early games this week.
Whatever you say about the Patriots, and quietly bet the other way because of your homer tendencies. So I'll be looking for McCaffrey prop.
Prop better, and you're you saw what Kareem Hunt, rookie phenom from Kansas City, did to the Pats week one, I have no idea why you wouldn't look for McCaffrey props this week, especially because the Panthers have been targeting him like bananas crazy, like 10 targets a game or something crazy. I'm still going
broken in 2 weeks. He was getting 60 carries a game, on college. Yeah. They ran him into the ground in college, and he's getting a lot of touches. He might break down in a couple years. We'll see how tough he is, I guess. I'm not playing anything in this game. I don't want to lay that many points with the Pats even at all. I can't trust Cam right now. I want to see what he does over the next couple weeks. I don't like any situation. I could lean on your under, but I probably won't play anything.
Okay. A couple of early games I couldn't find an edge on. Maybe you can talk me into something here. I originally was going to look for the Rams. We talked about this on Monday. I did not act at the open when the Dallas was laying 7.5. And I woke up this morning to finalize my card and see an even juiced 6 out there now. And I'm thinking this is probably a 3 or 4 point win for the Cowboys. So I'm going to stay away from this one because I don't have quite the edge I was hoping for. Are you going to stick with the Rams? I know you grabbed that 7.5, right?
I actually, let me look here. This is good podcasting. You're listening to me.
Well,
I got
8.5. Wow. Nice work, man. Yeah. So that's
that was like, yeah, that was like, if a you have that, I got that at -110 even. So I think that's pretty much where it opened, was +8.5. I grabbed that right away Sunday along with a couple other ones. That's an absolute play. I don't think I'll buy back on that. If you want to move to a late game out of the order here, but that and the Niners, like we talked about in the last pod there, just pretty much auto plays going Thursday teams versus Monday teams both ways. I'll take those points over a touchdown both ways. Instant plays for me.
Sounds good. The total, I kind of like the over in that Rams-Cowboys game, but I ended up bagging it at the last second. It opened at 46.5. I wish I'd gotten over 46.5 because I would have liked it if I could have had 47 and 48 on my side. But it's up to 48 now. That's a little too close to where I'm projecting about 50 points in that game. So I'm going to skip the over and the Rams there, although I think they're both decent looks. I could not find an edge in the Titans-Texans game either. This one matters a lot, right? This game... this is 2-2-1 teams, head to head, in a division where the Jags presumably are going to pick up their third win in New York. So whichever team comes out of here with an L is going to be in a tight spot to get to the top of the AFC South. I wanted to take the Texans money line here because I got real excited about Deshaun Watson after we saw him now two pretty high profile games. He played pretty well on the road, but I think
it really makes you wonder what they were doing in the first half of that first game. Like what?
Yeah. Or
what, like, was that going to be the future of the franchise with Tom Savage? That was what we're going to do.
Like, thank you.
Everybody knew after like one drive. Well, Watson.
What were you doing?
I thought you know, game two, Watson starts. They didn't even wait that long. No, coming. You know, that game one. I think that was maybe if Watson starts game one, if he plays some more meaningful snaps in the preseason, if there are any. I think maybe they don't go win that, but they don't get embarrassed like they did. Especially
no, they compete. You know,
like everybody was, yeah, they barely competed in that game. So, yeah, you're right, Watson. He's they always say between game one and game two or whatever, and his game one was kind of a half game. So he did really step up in the second and third game there. I can get behind the Texans, even though I'm a huge Titans lover right now.
Yeah. So in the end, I had chickens out here, and I'm staying away because I am concerned. I mean, the Titans, I think, they're potentially the real deal as well. And even though they're on the road, Mariota and company has, you know, their run game, when they get a little bit of a lead, as we saw against Seattle, they were able to ram it down that excellent defense's throat, which was surprising and impressive, I have to say. Now, whether they're going to be able to do that 2 weeks in a row, who knows? But when you got DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry running at, you know, both guys full health right now, both guys, you know, making moves, making great plays. That's tough to stop consistently. So I think in the end, that's the difference maker in this game.
And Five Dimes has it at pick right now. Some funny juice, like a -125 and a +105 to keep me off that. Because if it was Houston +1.5, that's probably going in my I do a teaser or two every week at least. And then +1.5 at home, that's kind of a nice line for a 6-pointer. Stick it right at 7.5 for you. And I think maybe if that moves around, if they don't get stuck on that pick all week, it's still only Wednesday night here. We got some time to find some teaser lines. So that one might find its way into a teaser.
One other note I wanted to bring up about this one, it's a pretty clear pattern is emerging now for Tennessee games. They start out grinding, right? They don't find their rhythm to the second half. I think you see now twice in a row just games that looked like they were going way under in the first half and then just exploded it for the over in the second half. And a lot of that is just their philosophy and their approach, how fast they're snapping the ball in the first half versus how fast they're snapping the ball in the second half. They're running backs starting to get running downhill in the second half as the defense gets tired out. So if this is a 3-0, 6-3 type of game in the first half, I'm probably going to grab some over in the second half because the total as it sits now, 43.5, is a little too high. But I think you're probably going to get a discounted version of that at halftime in this game. One of the moving down the card here, I'm interested in this Jags-Jets game, which I think is going to be another stink bomb. The Jets
again?
No. Oh, I'm going on.
I can get excited about going back to the Jets now. It's kind of it's like a thrill, you know, like bungee jumping. Like, oh man, what am I doing? What am I doing here?
Yeah, I thought hard about it. I was like, man, this is great. Jags coming back from London. They're going straight up to New York to play. 2nd week in a row on the road. I think that wears a little bit on the offense more so than the defense in this game because their defense has freaking players, man. Boy, does the Jags defense have playmakers. Jalen Ramsey, I noticed, has yet to have more than an 8-yard completion on him this year. Overall, the D-line front seven combo for the Jags is just loaded with unbelievably talented players. That looks like a phenomenal mismatch against the Jets offensive line, which is is a pretty sparse unit right there. And I think it's going to be extremely difficult for the Jets to manifest enough offense here to stay inside the number and to be competitive in this game. I looked hard at backing the Jags -3.5, or actually when I woke up this morning, it was already down to -3. But I think both teams here desperately struggle to score. The total is 39.5, which is among the lowest you're ever going to see for a National Football League game. But still, I'm grading this one going to be difficult to see more than 30 points. So I'm happy to take under 39.5 here. This is one of my more favorite plays of the week. And we will see if the Jets can get it done again. Boy, if they win another game, how are you sweating your team total under on the Jets? I will.
Yeah. Well, they've got to play some better teams. I've thought about it, and like I say that I do, and I actually am doing that. Like, I literally just put in a parlay right now. So I get good ideas when we talk. So I'm gonna put the Jets +3.5 in a parlay. We're gonna do the all travel spot rest spot. Take both of those Thursday to Monday ones. You put the Rams and the Niners in, and then you put them against the two teams playing the London teams. You take the Jets and the Steelers, and then just because I said the Dolphins, I'm gonna put the Saints in there too. So nice little 20-1 lotto parlay. I'll throw that up on Twitter.
Okay, nice.
That's guaranteed money. Whatever you have to wager, if you would like 20 times more than that, just bet that, and that's how that works.
And retire.
That's why they make parlays, so you can be rich.
Right? That's right, yeah. Absolutely right.
But I won't be playing the Jets straight up, I don't think.
I'll tell you what, I won't be watching that game. That's for sure. Let's talk about the last couple of these early games here, and then let's take a quick break. Actually, let's talk about one more early game, and then let's take a quick break. The last total I'm into here is I'm going to grab over in this Bengals Browns game. And the reason why is I can make a compelling case that the Browns defense is among the more pathetic pass defenses in the league. They gave up big play after big play to Jacoby Brissett and the Colts, who weren't even running the home run offense. The Cincinnati Bengals, we saw first half offense from them that I think is the future of their offense this season. It was up tempo. They got the ball into AJ Green's hands in space a lot. If they do that against the Browns, I think you're going to see some big touchdowns. I think AJ Green might have one of the higher, one of the more impressive days of the week. And I will happily take over 41 when I can see, I can see the Bengals scoring touchdowns easily on this pretty sad Browns pass defense. I can see the Browns. They've let Kaiser sling. Right. I mean, they are asking him to do everything. And I saw some glimmer of hope in the second half of that. He's turning the ball over like crazy. There's no denying that. I don't think that his rookie of the year is viable at this point. He's going to have way too many turnovers by the end of this season. But I do, they are asking him to do everything. The weapons they have, I'm impressed with. Duke Johnson looks like a great player, great young player. They were coming together as an offense and gelled a little bit in the second half as they tried to come back against the Colts. So I'm going to go over here, and I think we're going to see both teams comfortably get into the 20s, which makes over 41 a nice play. 41 at -105.
I'm going to put that on my maybe plays because you've talked me into that. I just think Laser and the boys need to get the ship right. So I think they
do.
They're going to absolutely be this. To hit, I mean, this is a game we have to win, guys. We got to get on the W's. So
yeah, I think you're going to see.
For their sake.
It looks to me like you're seeing a pretty strong position being taken on the Bengals. People do feel like this is their maiden win of the season. 0-3 Bengals against the 0-3 Browns. How about that? Our Browns win total over and not to finish fourth is on life support right now. But
not
that's
to finish
story
fourth
for another day.
They just gotta stay ahead of the Bengals.
Yeah, if they win at home, then I'm gonna be doing a little jig on Sunday. But I don't know, man. I think this is probably a Bengals W here, and I think that sucker's on life support. That said, you know, Cleveland's offense is coming together. They're doing good things. Kaiser is developing into a real NFL quarterback, which is pretty exciting for Browns for future. Let's see if we can get some points. That's actually the only over I like of the early games. Even though we saw lots of, let me just do a little tangent here real quick and then we'll take a break. We saw a lot of overs hit on Sunday, Monday. Actually,
10 or 11.
We'll go back to Thursday when we had the highest scoring game of the season so far. It was over spectacular across the board, across the league, last week. I dove into why that was a little bit because I had some theories. And what I found was interesting in weeks one and two, the yards gained per point, was relatively, normal over the course of the, you know, last several years. You had to gain about 13 yards per point. You had to gain about 16 yards per point in the first two games of the season. That's pretty close to the, you know, the average over the last couple of years. It's not a surprise that we saw so many unders the first couple of weeks because defenses were ahead of offense. Because they've shortened the preseason and they've limited the amount, you know. So there was a lot of factors leading to defenses being ahead of offenses, and that, you know, therefore it was tougher to get yards. Therefore, it was tougher to get points. Therefore, we saw a lot of unders. All of that was flipped on its head week three, and what you actually saw was you only had to get 13 yards per point to score, and that to me was a factor of two things. One, we saw a few more penalties, not necessarily like a lot of game changing penalties that really, you know, flipped the field on folks. There were some of those, but not enough of them to be the main factor. But in general, starting field position was up, and it was up by almost 10 yards. So teams were starting, closer, you know, and this is just based on 3 weeks, so it's obviously a small sample size. But in general, we saw poor special teams play week three. I think you would attribute that largely to the fact that we had so many injuries. I mean, the injury reports going into week three was so long. And, you know, I think that you had guys who usually play a significant role on special teams who were playing their guts out on special teams. Weeks one and two were now playing more meaningful downs, and therefore were, you know, you were seeing poor coverages. We saw a lot of punt returns, 5, 10, 15-yard punt returns that were helping field position, and I think all that together led to higher point totals. So something to keep an eye on. Teams that are struggling with injuries right now and teams that are, you know, have more kind of thinner depth charts overall and worse special teams are the types of teams you're going to want to be looking at overs. Because those are the teams that are going to be playing on short fields and scoring more points. So that's all for my over diatribe. Does that sound reasonable, or do I sound like I'm just making shit up?
No, I've just been looking at lines. I didn't listen to a ton of that. No, I get what you're saying. And that is, you know, when you do next man up and you start bringing guys off the practice squad and, you know, the guys that were playing special teams are starting now or at least rotating in, and then practice squad guys are on special teams, and some guy that was working at the Shake Shack 2 weeks ago is now doing punt coverages. So there can be problems there. And, I mean, I trust your numbers on that. But, definitely. And okay. Obviously it was a big under or over week.
Yeah, so pick your places when you're playing unders. Look for teams that are a little deeper, that have a little better special teams units, keep an eye on those field. Keep an eye on field position. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll hit the last couple morning games, and then the afternoon and evening and primetime slate.
Oh, this house selling stuff is such a dick. I had a 6 o'clock showing. Took the kids and both dogs for a walk, and like 10 seconds into it, my 2-year-old just shit his pants. They pulled off and I couldn't turn around, so we walked in the damn 5 minutes. So we walked around the block. 15 minutes later, they're just standing in front of the house looking at it. And he's crying, he's got shit pants, and the dogs are trying to get everything off. I would have murdered the next person to the baby.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing, man. This is funny as hell.
Oh, God. But yeah, I texted wife's working late. I texted her that. She's like, wow, sorry.
You're on your own, pal.
And we're back.
Hey, we're back. Welcome back from that amazing break. The last two games we got to touch on real quick here. There's two good ones, interesting ones at least. The first of these two is the tilt between the Steelers and the Ravens. This is a nice. This is a really difficult handicap. I will admit it from the jump. The Ravens played in London last week, allegedly. The Steelers played in Chicago last week, and they lost. So you have two teams which knew they were playing week 4 in a matchup that was ostensibly going to determine who was going to have the lead in the AFC North for the balance of the first half of the season. And here they are in Baltimore, Maryland. The black and blue matchup of the black and blue division in the AFC, Steelers-Ravens. Who you got?
This was a toughie too, but I just argued with myself enough until I ended up with more pros than cons for Pittsburgh, I think. I mean, you should always make cons against your play just to try to temper your expectations and maybe talk yourself out of doing something that sounds good right away. But, boy, Baltimore coming back off the road, and they just – Pittsburgh, I can't imagine what the coaches said to him after that game. Offense, the players that they have on that offense. And they, I mean, just even last year without Bryant, now they got, they should be scoring a lot of points. And I don't quite understand what's going on. Ben's looked a little off. I think they get it right. It was like one of those just epic arguments with yourself trying to figure this out, because coming from lost in London, but Pittsburgh lost, so they're a play, but Baltimore lost, so they're a play, but Ben's on the road, so a bit, you know. But I'm just gonna bite it and go with the bite the pillow, go -3.
Okay. Well, I'm taking side of this one as well. Yeah, I'm taking the other side of this one as well. I'm on the Ravens money line at +138. We keep doing this. You get the points and I take the money line and it falls in the middle. You can probably parlay this and say that the exact score finishes in the middle here, and you will go home a winner. The reason I'm taking the Ravens, you mentioned all the key angles, I think. My Ravens lean here, and the way I really approached this handicap was basically treating the Ravens like they were on bye last week. They did not give us an honest effort in London against the Jags. Surprise, surprise. They didn't cover by 40 points. They missed the spread by 40 points. That is the biggest miss of any team so far this season. Did you know that? The Rams covered by 39.5, I think, or something crazy like that. This was a half a point higher. It was damn close, though. So the Ravens took the week off. I think that was a tactical decision. I really
do. Ravens
off a bye. They had to travel, obviously, but I don't think that you saw their top plays last week. I don't think you saw, clearly they knew they have to make some adjustments after losing Marshall Yanda. I think they tried some things out to see, you know, different protections to see how they could fill that gap, to see if they could get their running game going, you know, and other blocking schemes and things like that. And, you know, it was an experimental week for them on offense, it felt like. You didn't see any of that. You saw a very vanilla kind of a preseason approach to the game, as far as I could tell. The Ravens were trying things out. I think they made a tactical decision knowing that they have two division wins already. They've beaten the Browns.
In the pocket.
Yeah. In the pocket. They know that this game matters more than 90% of their other games on their schedule. It mattered 10x more than beating the Jaguars in London. And I think all of this factored into their approach last week and their approach this week. And I think you're going to see some of the more creative downfield stuff trying to attack the Steelers here, trying to soften them up. And because the Steelers defense is good. You know, this is going to be tough for the Ravens to score without a healthy squad, and their weapons are pretty pathetic overall. That said, you do tend to see no-name players from the Ravens step up every time they play the Steelers, every year. Go back and look at the box scores and see who's scoring touchdowns and who's going over 100 yards, and you're going to be like, who the heck are these guys? So I think we'll see some surprise names step up from the Ravens here and take on, you know, do some things that that you weren't expecting. They're going to have to.
It looks like Mac Madden's cleared.
Yeah, that's true. That will be big. And somehow Ben Watson is still in the league at tight end. The other major aspect here that gives me interest in the Ravens is Ben ain't right. And you can say it's because he's been on the road 3 of the 4 weeks we've seen him so far. But something ain't right with Big Ben this year at this point. He is not sharp. He's missing deep balls. He is, you know, when
By
he is
lot.
Connecting to the
like,
likes of.
Yeah, they're yeah. not even close sometimes.
No, and when he's connecting with his weapons, he's doing it in a way where they're going out of their way to make the catch and can't get yards after the catch, and it's affecting the team and the offense and the flow of the offense and all of that. And if he's a little bit off against this Ravens defense, which has phenomenal playmakers at every level, then I see a lot of potential for struggles for the Steelers to score points in this game. If I'm wrong, if you're wrong, if the total may be the place you want to look in this. I'll tell you, we talked about this. I talked about it on Twitter. We talked about it on Monday. This, when they opened this total at 45, it was too high. Hopefully you listened to us, took our advice, listened to the pod on Monday and got 45 when it got under 45 because it's now at 41. This total continues to take enormous amounts of money and drop like a rock. Something I would have to guess the money split on this thing is something in the ballpark of like 80-20 on the under. And you know, if it continues to become, you know, if it's the popular side through the weekend and Sunday morning you wake up and you see it at 40, 40 and a half, I would strongly recommend taking the over at that time and giving yourself the middle, which includes some of the key points.
Some of the totals. Yeah, lands right on 42, 43. Those are a lot of games end up right in 42, 43, 44.
Yeah, even 44. Yeah, 42, 43, 44. 40, even if you can get, if you have under 45 with us and you can get over 40 and a half with us, you're going to have a look at four beautiful numbers in the middle. And I could very well see this thing landing at 44. In fact, my base projection, for this game was Ravens 24, Steelers 20. So that is my angle on what should be one of the more interesting games of the week, and really kind of a key game if you back the Steelers to win the North, which I did heavily preseason. So this will be an interesting. Here I am backing the Ravens on the money line, and I am holding massive Steelers liability.
Long season.
Anyway, the last game in the morning slot is Falcons-Bills. This, to me, looks like a nice...
You're going to be on the East Coast, so it's the afternoon.
Yeah.
1 p.m.
Yeah, this is... that's a good point. I'll be on the East Coast, so this will be wrapping up around 4 p.m. my time.
We
agree, yeah. This is a nice spot. It's a favorite.
Yep.
Dogs have been running. Dogs have been barking. It's been a dog week. You probably heard. You could not have not heard, I suppose, because every freaking account that covers NFL gambling has been talking about how well the dogs did. This is a nice spot to lay the points. The Falcons are phenomenally fast in their dome. The surface that they put in that new Mercedes-Benz dome is about the fastest surface in the league. One of my good follows, you know, Adam Chernoff. He's talked this surface up and is convinced that this is kind of a hidden, untapped angle of covering NFL, which is looking more in depth at the surfaces in each facility, since there's such a diverse set of surfaces out there now. This is supposedly an indoor soccer or a soccer turf, where they specifically picked it to be tuned with the type of offense they run in Atlanta and the type of players that they have on that squad. And you are now bringing in a tired Bills defense to face this extremely fast offense on this extremely fast surface. And when I think of the way that those two go hand in hand, and I see the Atlanta Falcons hanging whatever number they feel like on the Bills on Sunday. The Bills, they played some tough downs against the Jets week one, in a game they ultimately won. They played some extremely tough downs against the Panthers week two in a game they ultimately lost. And then we saw what they dug deep. They put an A-plus performance together against the Broncos at home week three to get to where they are now currently at 2-1. This is the game where they go back to 500 to 2-2 as the Falcons cruise to an 11-plus point victory. Does that sound about right, cap-wise?
Yeah, they looked very good at home against, what was that, Green Bay?
Yeah.
I think the Bills are a better defense, obviously, but I don't think they'll be putting up the points like Mr. Rodgers did. And he didn't put up nearly enough points, but they don't have the same kind of offense as Green Bay. They can't hang with Atlanta. They will not. I think, yeah, they at least double digit win here. So I'll be laying that 7.5 or 8. That's a play.
So the one wrinkle to look at here, the Falcons have had a very, very, going back to, I'll say, February of 2017, the Falcons have had a very difficult time closing games. So the one wrinkle here is if you're laying over a touchdown and they have a 21 or a 17 point lead in the third quarter or so, it wouldn't be the worst idea to look for a live look at the Bills, because they do have weapons. Tyrod Taylor is finding his receivers finally. They can score, and the Falcons have been letting down late in games. So not super concerned about a backdoor cover, but if the live line, if the market shapes up and you're seeing a live line where you can get, you know, you can get 17.5 or something like that on the Bills if they're down 24, I'll be grabbing a little bit of coverage in that area.
We our group play in one of our group chats, there was Georgia. Everybody played Georgia together, and Georgia got up 28-3, and that was the joke that was instantly made, was a team from Georgia. Like, what can go and thank God. I actually, for a second, thought about it. I'm like, shit, that's not good. But they got off.
This is trouble.
That is trouble. Like, that's just it's a cursed number now. So
I know, man. We talked about it in women's tennis. What's the most dangerous lead in women's tennis? Is 5-2, man. You do not want to be up 5-2 and up a set in women's tennis, or you are in deep trouble. Let's talk about the afternoon games here a little bit. I don't have a great read on this Giants-Bucks game. I keep waiting for the Giants to finally break through. They covered last week in a game they probably should have won, even though they were down 14-0 in the second half of that game. I could see them break through against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have some tough injuries on this defense. We saw what Case Keenum and company did to them last weekend up in Minnesota, and I could see the Giants having a breakout game on offense. That said, I like the Bucs too, man. The Bucs have some weapons. They're at home. They know a lot is expected of them. Last weekend was kind of obviously a letdown. So they know they need to bounce back and get right in this spot. So I'm kind of on both sides of the fence here. I'm just going to stay away. How about you? You got a side or a total here?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be betting games that the Giants are involved in for a while till they figure out what they're all about. I'd lean Tampa Bay at this point, coming off that tough loss and heading home. But the Giants, that's another one. They're in the same boat as the Steelers. Like, you have all these good receivers, and Eli's kind of a fraud at times, but he should be a little more competent. I think they may need to just figure out how to run the ball, and they'll get their stuff, you know, get their shit in the get and figure it out and start winning. But right now, that's a stay away game. Actually, there's a couple.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, like Philly, LA, too. The Chargers.
You can stay away.
Yeah, well, it's another team. Like, well, you should probably win some of these games. I don't know what you're doing here, but you continue to not do so. You know, the practical, you know, how you should, you know, sports betting theory here. You should probably take the Chargers, I think, but
yeah,
I don't like that. I'm not going to.
Yeah, the Chargers. They let down big time last week. That was a real popular play for a lot of sharp folks that I know. And they were duds against the Chiefs. But maybe it's just because the Chiefs are that good this year. Who knows? This is a spot where I'm looking for the Eagles to let down a little bit. They now have 2 wins in division. They beat the Redskins. They beat the Giants. We saw what they looked like after they beat the Redskins when they went on the road at the Chiefs week 2. They could not get inside the number. I think we see a very pretty similar game play out here. With the Eagles on the road against the Chargers. Traditionally, the Eagles don't play particularly well on the West Coast. The Chargers are a very desperate 0-3 team. They are now 3 games behind the Chiefs in division. That's a huge issue 3 weeks into the season. I don't need to tell anyone that. And I think, you know, a lot has been made about Phillip Rivers being dead, being done, being, you know, his career is potentially over. I think he has one last hurrah here and leads the Chargers to a victory against the Eagles. Funny thing to mention, I'm laying 2 points with the Chargers this week. And this is a little bit of a suspect line as well. I think you're going to see a lot of public support for the Eagles because the Eagles are 2-1, the Chargers are 0-3. You know, everyone's kind of talking up how the Chargers don't really have a home field advantage in L.A., before the season started, the look ahead here was Elliott was the Chargers by 1. And sure enough, you have a good Eagles team at 2-1 threatening for the playoffs against the dead in the water Chargers team at 0-3. And they opened it at -1 at the Chargers. I think that's telling. And I will be backing the Chargers here. And if they do not cover, this will be the last Chargers game I bet for at least the first half of this season. How about the Niners? We talked about the Niners. I don't really have
I'm already
on the Niners.
I'm not even going to talk about why or how or the game. It's just over a touchdown coming at
in division.
In division with the road the rest, not the travel. Just getting extra rest versus a team that's getting less than normal rest. That's kind of an autoplay.
Right.
So hopefully they can handle it. They've hung tight on a couple teams. So the Cardinals. Yeah.
On top of that, don't have
a running back. Chris Johnson's not the answer.
They don't have a running back. And you know what else they don't have besides a running back? They don't have an offensive line. Holy smokes, did they stink against the Dallas Cowboys? Niners can get a little bit of pressure. I love this. This looks like a breakout game for Thomas on the D line for the Niners. I hope he gets his and becomes a household name in the Bay Area. If you didn't already know him from Stanford, you're going to know him when he sacked Carson Palmer 8 times on Sunday. And you know, there's a little bit of concern about what's going on in Arizona.
Yeah, Palmer's career on Sunday, I think he's done.
He's
seriously injured. I'm never going to wish somebody get injured, but boy, if that line plays like that and they. He's about due. He hasn't had an injury all year.
Yeah. Are you a little worried about Bruce Arians, former 2-time coach of the year? He didn't exactly look like the type of coach who was making the coach of the year decisions. He had a brutally bad challenge.
Yeah.
That was laughable.
Which was almost outdone by McCarran in the next play.
Yeah,
he failed the math portion of the SATs.
He did. That he failed dumb. The game theory. Yeah, he failed the game theory portion of the LSAT when he did not kick the field goal at the end. Although, guess what? We didn't get to cover this because this happened on Monday, the day we recorded our Monday pod. Boy, under 47 was a gift. That was a gift. man, I don't know how he didn't kick that field goal and take that thing over. But
yeah, you can't be too mad at him when he does that. If he had that on.
No,
there.
He got my coach of the year vote early, but right in vote after not taking that field goal. A couple other notes that, you know, all is not well in Arizona for sure. Niners are putting it together finally on offense. This is the Niners' third division matchup in a row. They lost to the Seahawks. They lost to the Rams. Can they get a win finally against the Cardinals? I will note that they did cover two in a row, and it's pretty rare to see a team cover three times in a row in a division, so that has me a little nervous. And also, I will mention that the Cardinals are 0-3 against the spread, yet they still hung -7. That makes me a little nervous.
Back to the Falcons, the Bills have covered every spread. The Bills are not going to cover every spread all year.
No, I'm sorry, they're not. Who are the two teams undefeated against the spread? Bills and the Chiefs? I think those are the only two that are 3-0. There's two teams that are 0-3, and it's the Cardinals and the Seahawks, who we will get to in just a second. But the Cardinals and the Seahawks, both 0-3 against the spread, and they're both laying over a touchdown. Good luck with that. So let's talk about the last game. This is kind of an interesting one. I couldn't find a side, although I looked so hard because I know I'm going to be watching almost every minute of this game. Raiders are going at the Broncos. Two teams that let down last week. The Broncos, less of a letdown and more of just a bad situation with them traveling to Buffalo away from altitude for the first time all season. Meanwhile, the Raiders went to the DMV and, promptly shat the bed. That was the no-show of the week, I suppose, after the Ravens, who truly didn't show up. That game felt like it could have been 41-0 if the Redskins had put their foot on the gas a little bit.
Passion there at the end. The travel spot, man. West Coast to the DMV to the West Coast to altitude. If I had to bet a side, bet Denver. I think the way that defense is going to play at home in front of that crowd, and then Oakland going up to altitude. It is a tough place to play. It's in division. If it stays under three, this is something we talked about this at break. If it stays under three, and I'm having a good day so far, I might have it as an added later play, but it's just a strong lean for me right now. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, no, I think I'm there too. If it goes under three and if I'm watching the game and if Oakland can somehow score early get a live bet on the Broncos to win this one, because I do think they are going to come out victorious at the end of the day here. And just as a good rule of thumb, we'll talk about this now and I'll bring it up if I ever go against this as the season goes on, which I'm sure I will at some point. But as long as Denver's healthy, I'm not interested in going against them at home. As long as their O-line has all of their first line guys healthy and playing, as long as their defense has their playmakers on the field, it's too tough to play in Denver. I'm sorry. You're not seeing an appropriate home field advantage built into these lines for what exists in Denver. And so it's not worth fading them, in my opinion. That wraps up our week 4 game.
Well, does it?
The primetime game.
The primetime game.
All we got left is the primetime games. I made some jokes a while ago on the Twitter.com machine about flexing this game out of primetime on Sunday Night Football. Jacoby Brissett and the Colts head to Seattle to play Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. 2-1-2 teams. I don't know. What were they thinking putting this in the week 4 primetime spot anyway? This is always
Andrew Luck.
Even with Luck versus Wilson, the Colts weren't going to be good enough to make this a competitive game. This was, you know, even the look ahead on this was like, you know, Seattle -7 or something, like before the season started when they thought Andrew Luck was going to play. It ends up opening -13.5. I meant to do a query on this to see if we've ever had a primetime game on Sunday Night Football with a line as high as 13.5. My suspicion is we have not seen many, if we've seen any. And I, you know, there was a compelling moment where I was like, boy, I should grab the points here. 13.5 is too many. Jacoby Brissett looks like a real quarterback. You know, we talked about this Monday. He looks like a guy that I would grab and start, you know, build my franchise around, to be honest. You know, he may look terrible on Sunday in Seattle in the CenturyLink field. That's going to be a million decibels loud against a defense that's going to be embarrassed, and you know, they were embarrassed in Tennessee. They're going to be angry. And Brissett may have some bad turnovers. But that said, they're not asking a lot of him, really. They're running a pretty balanced game plan overall. And you know, the Seahawks defense has played a lot of snaps so far this year. In the end, though, I couldn't really talk myself into backing effectively a rookie quarterback on the road in prime time. Looking at the over here, not in that stadium. So I'm looking at the over here. 41 is the number I got. Odds were -110. And the reason I grabbed
41.5 over here.
Yeah, 41.5. That's fine. I think this gets into the upper 40s. I think we see 47 or so points here. Seattle plays really well in prime time. Their offenses, they found something finally in the second half of that game against Tennessee, where they were finally getting plays down the field. They rediscovered that Luke Wilson was on the team. I think that's a nice little safety blanket for Russell Wilson now. And you know, I think Doug Baldwin has some nice matchups. The Colts defense is -5. And as you know, the Colts Browns last week was the easiest over of the week. That over cashed by halftime. And it was about the same number. I'm surprised they haven't adjusted this total, to be honest. 41, you know, I could even see a scenario where Seattle covers this by themselves, 42-0. You know, if you get a couple defensive scores and Russell Wilson has a breakout game, scores 5 touchdowns or something. So, you know, that's my
deal. That should be upper 40s. That number seems low. We might be dead wrong. And
might be dead wrong,
13 to 5 in the – putting the Seahawks in the toilet for the year, but
I think the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks lost a game 14-5 last year to Tampa Bay, didn't they? There was a weird game like that last year. All right, well, let's save Monday for Monday. I have a play on Kansas City Chiefs Redskins game, but we'll circle back and talk about that on Monday. Let's talk about Thursday football, and then let's send the people home with the winner. With the winner.
How about two winners?
How about two winners? Are you got a lean here?
I'm taking the over.
You're taking the over. Okay. I like the over too. I looked at the over too. In the end, I took only the pack. I'm laying 7. I'm laying 7 at a nice price of -110. I'm seeing if you want to back this with me, and it is Wednesday when we're going to get this, Wednesday night, this pod's going to go up. You better run to the book and get and play in, because it is going to be 7.5 or 8 by the time this closes, I suspect. There's not great news about the Packers' offensive line. Their tackle situation is problematic, to say the least. That said, Aaron Rodgers' mobility looks great right now. He's moving well. He's finding, you know, his receivers are healthy. He's finding Jordy Nelson when he needs him, which is freaking awesome. He's making passes. The pass that he made to tie the game against the Bengals, did you see some replays of that?
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, you hate Aaron Rodgers.
I hate him so much.
I'm probably making you crazy.
But I've backed him plenty of times. You got to play him when you got to play him. But no, everything you just said, I think the Packers threw up 28 to 31 points pretty easily.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Their
defense is not good also.
So and their defense is not good. I think that the Bears receivers and their fun little running back can put up, you know, 15, 20 points on them. I think upper 40s pretty easily on this game. The total on this should be over 50 when it's all said and done. I think the Bears score two, three touchdowns.
Another couple
still beat them.
I'm feeling you. Another couple angles that I think support both of our sides here. I think Mike Daniels is going to be back for the Pack, and he's a real difference maker in the defensive line. And while I don't necessarily think he's going to be healthy enough to get pressure on Glennon up the middle, I do think he's going to be effective at kind of disrupting what they want to do in the running game.
You saw Cobb's playing, right? Randall Cobb's
playing, I believe.
He's playing. He's going to play. So that's a big thing for that offense.
Yeah, and you know, if Daniels is effective at stopping or disrupting the run, and this game turns into a game where Mike Glennon has to throw, you could we saw against Tampa Bay, he was a bad turnover machine on the road, and here the Bears are on the road and unfriendly Lambeau. You know, second week in a row, Packer at home. They did not cover against the Bengals, in part, I believe, because they were looking ahead to this Thursday night tilt against the Bears, and I think we see the best of the Pack in a game where they remind the NFC that they should be in the conversation with the Falcons. So I'm laying 7. Go Pack, go. And then next
week. It's kind of a dumb number in the world, as far as a dead, 45.5. It's not.
Yeah. You know, they but whenever.
I might actually play a higher number for plus money.
That's.
When just like 47's even money, or 46.5 I can get for like -102.
You know, I fully
if it lands on 46, I'll be pissed. But
I fully advocate selling your way to 46.5 or 44.5 over or under, depending on what side you like. If it's at 45 or 45.5, because there's so few combinations. It's such a dead number. 45 and 46 are just dead numbers. I'm sorry. There are combinations that get you there, of course. I even have some projections this week that are land on those numbers. But that all that said, they're dead enough numbers that it's worth going up and down depending on where you are to reduce the juice, and that is the name of the game in the NFL. If you're going to win long term, you need to be not be laying -115s and -120s, and you need to be grabbing money lines when you have an outright underdog winner. All that said, man, that was a good pod.
Good
great
stuff.
Wednesday.
Yeah, hopefully everybody
big week
does.
Coming up.
The books won last week. I guess I bet a lot on
last week,
so
but
it worked out for me. I won. So
deep dive. You know who else won? The deep dive podcast hosts and the deep dive podcast listeners won some money last week, and we're going to make it 3 in a row this week, and ride out the first quarter of the NFL season in style, week 4.
Retire.
So with that, have a great weekend. Week 5 coming up. Just as a reminder, fewer games next week because there's going to be buys. First wave of buys are all in week 5, unfortunately. That said, still looking forward to it. Andy, have a great weekend.
Yeah,
good
you
luck
too.
And all your wagers.
And we'll be talking Sunday.
All right. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.